beaten with a drumstick. Beaten like this.
Boom, bam, slam.
Triple J.
Matt Zoe, welcome to Triple J. How are you?
Hi, yeah, I'm doing great, thanks.
Is it true you nearly slept through one of the Stereosonic gigs on the weekend?
I nearly slept through this whole trip.
We're going to talk about damage control in just a moment. I want to talk a little bit about your family life, because it seems like you come from a fascinating family. Was it always bound that you were going to end up in a creative field somewhere along the lines?
Yeah, I think so. From a young age, my mom always pretty much pushed music on me, and I'm very grateful for that.
So she's a violinist, right?
Yeah.
So what sort of music was she playing and working in?
Well, classical mainly. Yeah, she played for a few orchestras and also as a soloist, and she also teaches music as well.
Did she try to get you down the classical path?
Yeah, of course. I mean, both my parents really did. They're both classical music lovers. I was kind of rebellious against that. My main instrument of choice was the guitar.
And that felt more natural for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you play guitar on this album?
A little bit, yeah. On the first track, all the guitar parts I did myself. I try and keep it up just to keep my fingers active.
Yeah, sure. Because if you stop playing, it sort of goes away pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Your father is a painter, so your mum was a violinist, your father a painter. It sounds like his life is absolutely fascinating as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done a lot of interesting things, including painting Princess Diana. And yeah, he's seen some incredible stuff in his life.
Both good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was in Israel at the time of the war in the 60s.
Yeah.
Moved to London, I think in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Was commissioned the year you were born to paint Princess Diana.
Actually, the day after I was born, he went to meet Princess Diana.
Really?
So, yeah.
That was the first sitting.
Yeah.
Did he talk much about that meeting and painting her?
Not really. It was the way he did it was he would take pictures and use slides to project onto the canvas. And so it wasn't really a sitting. It was more, you know.
Take a couple of photos.
A photo shoot.
Go away,
yeah.
Come back, work on it a little bit more as well.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen that painting in the flesh?
No, actually, I haven't. It's hanging somewhere in, I think, some court somewhere in the UK.
Yeah. So what do they make of Matt Zoe, you know, the artist?
Well, my parents.
Yeah.
They're very proud of me. At first, they're a bit hesitant to let me go off and have this career because they weren't sure whether I would do well. But, you know, I spent every day of my life producing, well, every day since I was like 11. And at first they were thinking maybe it's a waste of time, but now they're really proud of me.
Do you have to explain to them what you try to do with your music?
Yeah. My mom actually comes to some of my shows and she gets really involved. So her I have to explain a bit less because she's a little bit more active. My dad likes to keep a little bit of a distance, but he's still very proud of me. He listens to my music.
He does listen to it. Has your mom ever been tempted to bring the violin out and try to do something with you?
Yeah, I mean, maybe for the next album, we have talked about it.
Yeah, be an interesting combination. Also, just as you were growing up as a kid, you were born in London, but you lived in the States for a large part of time.
Mm-hmm.
You lived in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Why did you live in the States up until about the age of 8, wasn't it?
11. Basically, when I was 1, my parents split and my mom moved to Cleveland and took me and my brothers with me.
Is she American?
Yes.
Okay. And then when you were 11, you went and lived with your dad in London? Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
Wow. What's Cleveland like compared to London?
Can't think of a good way to put this one. Boring.
I've heard some pretty average things about Cleveland,
average,
Ohio.
Yeah, average.
And even average for a sort of an 11-year-old, you were glad to get out of there a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was actually on holiday, on Christmas holiday. I left for a few weeks to see my dad, and then I decided, you know what, I don't want to go back. So I just stayed.
Did your mum take that well?
She was hesitant about it at first, but yeah, eventually she came to terms with it and realized it was the best thing for me. I don't know how I would have turned out if I stayed in Cleveland. I definitely wouldn't have become a music producer.
You don't think so?
No, because moving with my dad allowed me the freedom to do what I wanted, really, because he didn't really care if I did schoolwork or not.
He was just upstairs painting all the time.
That's a nice way to put it, yeah.
It would have been interesting to see what sort of music you would have. It would have been a nice social experiment. Shame you can't sort of live through it and see how the other half of Matzo would have been.
I probably would have ended up in some metal band.
I was going to say, that guitaring would have been put to a different use.
Yeah.
You would have been a glam rock star or something really, really dreadful from Cleveland, yeah, Ohio.
Exactly. Death rock.
Matzo is with us on Triple J. Let's talk about the album. So the album, which pretty much is good timing for you being in Australia, it's only been out a week or two. It's called Damage Control. 3 or 4 years in the making, I've been reading. This has been a sort of a labour of love for you for a number of years. You're, what, 23 now?
Mm-hmm.
So you started making this around the age of 19.
Yeah.
How come it's taken so long for you to get something together that you're totally happy with?
Well, there have been like 50 tracks for this album. So the 13 that I narrowed it down to, or 14, you know, it took a long time to get those tracks where they are, and a lot of cutting and a lot of editing to get it where it is.
Did you have an idea in your head what sort of a body of work it wanted to be even before you started it?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted it to be varied. I wanted it to show my musical taste in all of the spectrum from, you know, hip-hop to house to classical to, you know, everything.
So the variety of songs that you were trying to come up with, that was the reason why it was taking so long, because you wanted to make good songs, but you also wanted to make good songs in all these different areas.
Exactly.
So collaborations have been really important for you as well?
Yeah. Definitely getting someone else's influence is important, so your music doesn't stagnate and you're always keeping things fresh.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about, I know it's been out for a little while, the Chuck D track. That's not a sample. Is that actually a vocal that he did for you?
Yes. Originally it was a sample, and he was kind enough to do a re-record of the original sample.
Because the original sample you couldn't use for some reason?
It was more difficult to clear than it would be for him to re-record, I think.
So did you physically meet him?
I met him after he recorded the sample, yeah.
So how far back does this go?
Well, I did the track 2 years ago, and to be honest, we only got the sample re-recorded like last year.
And yeah. Did he nail it? Did he basically do exactly what you wanted him to do? He just redid the original version.
Yeah. I mean, he sounds a little bit older now, but yeah.
Were you a big Public Enemy fan?
Yeah, I definitely appreciated their influence on hip-hop and their place in history.
Which is incredibly important,
of course.
Absolutely. Let's hear a bit of it right now. Matzo from the album Damage Control. So that's the track, Pyramid Scheme, a bit of it, featuring Chuck D. A few other people that you've worked with on the record as well. I can't pronounce her name, but The Sky is such a beautiful track. Linnea?
Yep.
Chosau?
Chosau, yeah.
Chosau, as it's pretty much. Is she Swedish?
Yes, she is. She's actually Marcus Chosau's sister.
Now, I know that name.
Yeah.
Where do I know that name from?
He's another house trance DJ.
Yeah. I think I played something on my show a few weeks ago him, or he was contributing to. Mm. So that's his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And has she made much music in the past?
Yeah, she's done a few tracks with other trance producers. But I wanted to take her voice and make something completely different.
And did she do something to this piece of music, or did you sample something afterwards?
She gave me the vocal first, then I built the whole song around that.
And it's a fairly ambitious song. It's one of the more ambitious moments off the record.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an epic moment. And it all came together exactly how you pictured it?
Yeah, definitely. It was actually one of the first tracks off the album to get finished. So.
Right, okay. What do you like at working with people? Do you have to sort of meet them and talk to them for a long time before you can kind of get comfortable with working with someone?
For vocalists, I just have to like the sound of their voice, really.
But in terms of directing them as to what you want?
I usually let the vocalists take control of what they're doing, you know, unless we're sitting there together working on the song, which is not as common for me. I usually let the vocalists make a song of their own, and then I take that and do something with it.
Okay, so is that how it worked with Lenae?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear a bit of it anyway right now. This is The Sky from the Matt Zoe record.
Feel the world release me. As if I was the sky. Hold your heart so near me. I know that I could fly.
Okay, so that's a bit of The Sky, which is a wonderful moment from Damage Control, the new album for Matt Zoe. This record's getting a good response so far. You're happy with what people are making of it?
Yeah, I was surprised at the response, actually, because it really wasn't intended to be a commercial record. It's very, very much something that I'd listen to at home. So it's been a big surprise that other people actually like the album as well.
Well, given the amount of work you've put into it, you obviously would like a lot of people to enjoy it, because
yeah.
You've been living with this material for quite a lot,
exactly.
a long time. All of it's pretty much done in your London studio. Mm-hmm. Some of the sounds are just epic, really big. You can kind of actually picture you playing them out in front of thousands of people in front of you. Is that the sort of mindset you put yourself in when you craft a lot of this material?
Some of it was definitely more intended for crowds, and a lot of it was more intended for individual people listening at home. But when I started the album, it was mainly intended to be a listening album.
As opposed to something in a big room,
yeah.
or in a big venue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. I want to actually play Lucid Dreams, which is the current single from the album. And this track, I'm going to play the album version, not the single version. There's some elements in here which I just want to sort of pinpoint. I actually noticed the two members of Everything But The Girl, Tracy Thorn and Ben Watt,
mm-hmm.
as being credited as co-songwriters. Do you know Everything But The Girl? That's
yeah.
the group that they're in.
Okay.
Okay. I've seen the songwriting credit, Tracy Thorn, Ben Watt. This is on Lucid Dreams, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But they were in the group Everything But The Girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I
what's the sample from?
The obviously, sample's from Brainbug. Rain, which was a 90s dance hit.
Did that? Brainbug, I remember them. That was Nightmare. They had a track,
yeah.
Nightmare. And that,
yeah.
Brainbug, we only played Nightmare at the
mm-hmm.
time. There was another track called Rain, which Brainbug did.
Yeah.
Maybe that actually sampled the Ben Watt, Tracy Thorn
Could,
track.
Maybe.
It must have been. Yeah, I'm just looking at the songwriting credits. Ben Watt, Tracy Thorn, Everything But The Girl. They were around in the 80s and 90s. They did some stuff. I'm surprised you actually haven't heard of them, but it was before your time. You would have.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're about four or five when they had their biggest
yeah.
hits. So that was the sample that the Brainbug did on Rain. So
thank you for telling me. This, I'm learning so much.
that's what I love reading about the credits, because yeah. you see songwriters' names mentioned and all sorts of tracks mentioned. And there you go. You've learned something through doing this interview.
Awesome.
Okay, let's hear this track. What did you want to achieve with this track, Lucid Dreams?
I wanted to make something that reminded me of 70s soul and that sort of soulful, funky, hits you in your heart kind of thing.
Like Stevie Wonder soul?
More like...
Bill Withers?
Yeah, more like Bill Withers or, you know, especially in the melody line and the chords. I really wanted to hit people's soul with that.
You got no problems with melody. You got stacks of melody. Have you always been like that? Always had lots of...
Melody and chord sequences have always been my forte.
Mm. And so of all the tracks that you recorded for this record, you said there were about 50 all up. Are they going to make up the bulk of the second record? Do you reckon you're going to be?
No, a lot of them are just never going to see the light of day.
Wow. The deluxe version of this album in 5 years' time. That's when they'll surface.
Yeah.
Listen, Matt Zoe, thanks for coming in. Good to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. You too.